Welcome and thank you for connecting with Open Door Church. Today we are in the book of Acts, looking at lessons from the early church. The first Christians were revolutionaries. The group they formed was in many ways very different from what we know as the church today. According to the book of Acts, they met in their homes and devoted themselves to God's Word. As a result, these early Christians brought about the most amazing and powerful transformation the world has ever known. And they did it without a single megachurch, television program, or website. They simply opened their homes, spoke the truth fearlessly, and trusted God for the results. Long before Christianity found a comfortable home in church buildings, it was an active body of passionate believers. Now, with today's message, here's Nathan Bivens.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here today. What I want to ask to begin this morning is a simple question, and that is, can you remember as a child being truly amazed? Can you think of a moment growing up that kind of filled you with amazement, with wonder? And I had to think a little bit to come up with a time. I think as we get older, we grow a little more cynical and we forget about how we could be amazed at one time in our life. And for me, I thought back to an uncle who was a pilot, and he was a bit of a character, but the great thing about this particular uncle was that he owned a plane. And it wasn't that he just, you know, owned a plane and you had to go to the airport and take off in that plane. No, he owned a plane that was behind his house, and he had his own personal airstrip. He and his brother began building their first plane when I think he was about 17 in the early 50s. And just over the years, they built an airstrip, and the FAA grandfather clause that in, and, you know, just allowed him to keep it. So as a boy, you know, myself and all the cousins, we'd come over and he'd get the plane out and he'd load us up in there and take us for rides. And I remember going up for the first time and just being amazed at the feeling of flying. And he would, you know, show off a bit, and he would take us up and he would do stall outs. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but you kind of fly up until your engine stalls and then you start doing this. And he would do wing overs, where you would bring the wing over and invert it like this and then bring it back down. It was always a lot of fun. And it was truly gives you this sense of wonder about the world around us. And I want to just kind of recap last week when we were talking about in our sermon the healing of the lame man. So John and Peter are going in the afternoon to the temple to pray at 3 o'clock, which is their normal routine, and they're going through the gate, referred to as the beautiful gate in Scripture, and there's a man who is lame from birth, and each day he has somebody who is able to bring him to the gate where he's able to be sat down, and he can then ask for alms. And as Peter and John are going through the gate, they stopped and asked the man, "I don't have money to give you, but something more I have to give." And in that exchange, Peter reaches down and brings the man up, and he's healed. His legs are made whole, and he's able to jump around and run, and it's truly amazing. Let me open us in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I ask that your Spirit would be with us this morning, Lord, as we look into your word further in Acts chapter 3. And Lord, I want our hearts to be open so that we can truly worship you this morning and we can see the miracles that you performed here in the new church, Lord. They still occur today. Lord, let our hearts be open to that truth in Scripture. And Lord, let us also see the message that you have for us this morning is the same message that was preached there that day and continues to be preached today in the church. And Lord, I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.
So this morning we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 11 through 26. And if you have your Bible and would like to turn there, please do so. And we're going to first take a look at verse 11. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, where it is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. And I just want to stop there because, again, this idea of being amazed. Can you imagine this man who has been from birth lame can now walk, and he's jumping around and he's excited. And we read there in verse 11, held on to Peter and John. You can just imagine the excitement as he's holding on to Peter and he's grabbing on to John. He's like, I'm healed. Sometimes I think we can just read over that. And we don't get that sense of excitement. There's an amazement. And then people are looking around. What's going on? And they start to ask questions. You can kind of hear the crowd. How did they do that? Who are these men? What did they say? Didn't they call upon somebody's name when they were speaking to this man? How is this possible? Now, keep in mind that the people there that day, they were coming in the temple to pray. They were coming in the temple to ask God to intervene probably on their behalf or somebody else's behalf in their family. They were themselves looking for a miracle. They were asking God to intervene in their lives. And then suddenly, something miraculous happens. It was undeniable. The man who they knew to be lame from birth, the man they've seen at the gate daily, this man was now jumping and clinging to Peter and John and worshiping God, and it was a miracle. And you can almost sense the electrical feel that would have gone through that crowd. Have you not been in a crowd when something happens and everybody starts talking? And it's an electrical feeling that just kind of pulses. I think that's probably what it felt like that day at the temple. Now let's continue reading with verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intensely at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Now, there's a lot to unpack there. But the first question I want to ask ourselves this morning is, how does Peter respond? Here you have the man who's just been healed, clinging to Peter. The crowd is gathering. There's an amazement going on. And Peter sees all of this happening. And his first response is, Peter declares Jesus. Verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus." Peter understood that he was speaking to his fellow Jews, and Peter makes the connection to God quickly, right off the bat. He says, this Jesus was the fulfillment of God's word. When Peter said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, immediately those in the temple would have quickly thought of Moses in the burning bush in Exodus. They would have wondered how Peter was going to tie Jesus in with Moses. Was Peter saying that another one like Moses had arisen? That Jesus had been truly sent by God? Was that what Peter was trying to say? But then how could that be? Because again, Jesus was dead. The Romans had killed him. Just before, a few days before, they knew that Jesus had been killed and crucified on the cross. Only this time, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, their God, has come down in flesh, in Jesus. This is what Peter was telling them. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is God's only son. Jesus is the reason why this man before you is walking and jumping up and down, praising God. They declare Jesus. And you can see here that he does it so quickly. Because I'm sure the crowd was probably getting ready to attribute this to Peter or John. Something about them, they must have some sort of power. And he's saying, no, don't go there. Because this is all about Jesus. And there's a lesson for us here, I think, in this first few verses. When God performs a miracle in our lives, we need to declare it was Jesus. Because we miss that opportunity to glorify him when we're not prepared to let people know that Christ is alive and working in our own lives. When God brings a child into your life when you thought you were barren, we need to declare it was Jesus. When God heals your marriage, we need to declare it was Jesus. When God performs a miracle in the circumstances that you believe can't be altered, we need to declare it was Jesus. First and foremost. But then Peter goes on, and he has some bad news. Bad news is Jesus was innocent, and you're guilty of his murder. Verse 13. Whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go, but you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life. My, Peter's words had to sting at that moment. To tell all those standing around that they murdered Jesus, well, that had to sting actually quite a bit, I'm sure. After all, they were here in the temple doing everything they could to get closer to God, and here is Peter accusing them of murdering an innocent man, and not just any innocent man, but a man who is God's son. And Peter holds nothing back, does he? He says, you killed an innocent man, a man who is without sin, a man who is blameless. You turned him over to Pilate, and it made it impossible for Pilate to release him when he tried. It was you crying, crucify him. You did everything within your power to get rid of Jesus. Now imagine being a part of that crowd that morning and hearing those words, knowing that you were among the voices that cried out, crucify him. Could have been. Definitely could have been people there who were at the trial, who mocked him as he carried the cross up to the hill and was nailed to that cross. Imagine hearing those words, knowing that while Jesus hung on the cross, you mocked him and you did your best to shame him. Imagine hearing those words and feeling the sting of the Holy Spirit convicting you and showing you at that moment what Peter was saying was true. You were responsible. Application for us this morning is, we need to be reminded, though, it's just not the Jews of that day that Jesus had that responsibility. They were not solely responsible for Christ's death. Jesus died for us as well. He went willingly to the cross to redeem us from the sin that afflicts humanity and each one of us. It is our sin as a whole that Christ died on the cross for. And he did so willingly. He did so following his Father's words for him to do that. But what can the crowd do now? So we have this moment now here where we've gone from amazement, declaring it was Jesus. The bad news is you killed an innocent man. But if the message were to end here, there would certainly be no hope for any of us. But Peter quickly follows in verse 15 with the good news. The good news that Jesus is alive, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. Just a simple statement. Jesus is not dead. He is alive. This is where we have our hope, and that is a hope in a Christ who, yes, he was killed, he died on the cross, was crucified, dead, and buried, and 3 days later, he rose again. He is not lying in a tomb outside the city gates. Jesus' body has not been rotting away, turning into a pile of bones in that tomb. He is no longer there. He is risen. He is alive. His tomb is empty. Amen. What joyous words those must have been to the crowd who were listening that day. As Peter lays out all of this, and they're convicted. And we each go through that, don't we? We each feel that conviction from time. But we can remember that Jesus is alive. And that brings us to our final point this morning. And that is repentance and salvation through Jesus. Picking up in verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Peter did not come to tell those who had gathered for prayer that they were a bunch of murderers. That was not his intention that morning. And Peter did not come to the temple to condemn them. That was not his primary goal. Peter came to the temple to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Peter wants them to know that God, through his son Jesus, had come down in the flesh to rescue, redeem, and restore his people and all the people of the world. And in verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. We have that assurance ourselves, don't we? Is that where we place our hope? In Jesus Christ? So that our sins may be forgiven, that we are redeemed to God? What I'd like for us to think about this morning is, do we have the same message for the world? As the church, as the body of Christ, is that the message that we proclaim to the world? Because our world continues to need that message of repentance and forgiveness that Peter preached that day. Our world is a world that has violence, has anger, has sin throughout it. And the devil has his fun, doesn't he, sometimes? But we're here to share a different message. A message that reminds us that Christ died on that cross and that he has redeemed us and that this is all part of God's plan. Are we sharing this message? And ultimately, are you declaring Christ? Do those around you see Christ in your lives? When those miracles happen, when God works on our behalf, do we rejoice in that? Do we praise Him? Do we worship Him for all that He does for us here and now? Yes, God has prepared a place for us in eternity. One day when we die and we have placed our trust in Him, we are going to see and be with Him in heaven. A mansion has been prepared for you and for I. But right now, we have a mission. We need to declare Jesus. So as God works miracles in our lives, let us declare Jesus and share His message this morning. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for Your word, for Your scripture. Lord, as we've looked through Acts, we know, and it's stated, Lord, that many miracles were done during that time of Pentecost and the early church, Lord, but You've recorded for us this one in particular, the healing of the lame man. And Lord, You have lessons for us to learn from this story. And one of those, Lord, is that I feel that we need to declare Jesus. We need to use our own story, our own situations and circumstances, Lord, as a platform for which we can then share this message of who Christ is with the world around us. Lord, give us the courage, Lord, to do that. Sometimes it can be hard. Lord, give us the words to do that. Sometimes we feel that we're inadequate. But Lord, help us to declare Your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope that you were blessed and inspired by today's message. If you would like to hear more messages like this, we invite you to Open Door Church, 4838 Meadowlark Lane in Columbia.